Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Today, I want to continue in the same text that we've been reading, Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we're going to start in the 13th verse. If you got a Bible, I'd love for you to turn with me to that passage, and we're in this series called Who Do You Say? Who do you say that Jesus is? This is our third week. I want to encourage you to go back. If you've missed those, we have it on our archive channel on YouTube. Just go to Promised Land San Marcos on YouTube. You'll find it. Today, I want us to start in Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" What that means is Jesus. He's asking them, who do people say that I am? But he asks them in that particular way, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We call the series Who Do You Say? Because that's the most pivotal question. And I ask everyone in here today, everybody watching online, who do you say that Jesus is? It's a great question. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any other human being." Talked about that last week. That was week two. Eric and I spoke about that particular verse. "Now I say to you," this is Jesus talking, "now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And I want to speak to you just for a minute about that moment when Jesus stops the conversation, stops the question, and then he says, "Now I say something to you. Now I'm going to speak something over your life. I'm going to declare something over you. I've been asking you questions, and those are important questions, but now I'm going to say something to you." A moment, a transition, where Jesus is now declaring something profound over Peter. Who you are, Peter. What you're going to be a part of. How you're going to do it. This is an important moment that Jesus shifts and transitions the conversation over Peter. And I just want to stop for a minute and say that everybody within the sound of my voice, whether you're in the room, watching online, or whatever, when you say yes to Jesus, when you say, "Jesus, you're not just a great prophet, you're not just a great teacher, but I believe that you died for me and you rose from the dead and conquered hell and the grave and death." When you declare that yourself, Jesus is saying the same thing over you, even though you're not there in this particular moment. He's speaking it over. Now, we know that Peter is the one that said it, and he's declaring, "Peter, you are a great leader, you're the rock," but he's really saying it to the disciples, because all of the disciples at this point, we're not sure exactly about Judas's path, but he's speaking to every one of them that have declared Jesus as Messiah. "You are important. You have a plan. You're in my family. You're my child." He is declaring that over them. And he's declaring that over you. No matter what your background is, or where you come from, or what you've done in your life, or you know what your last name is, or how much money you have, or what degree you have. When Jesus says something, it becomes true, even if it wasn't true before. It becomes true because Jesus says it. Now, God created the world. We learned about this in the very beginning, about the power of God's words. When God spoke to darkness and said, "Let there be light," And what happened? There wasn't light before that, but whenever God said, let there be light, boom, there's light. Let there be water. Let there be trees. God's word is powerful, and I just want you to receive that today, that God is speaking over your life. I love you. You're saved. There's an eternal reward for you where you will be with God forever and ever and ever. That's awesome. We receive that proclamation over that. Jesus is deeming Peter worthy. Jesus is deeming that Peter is a part of the plan. Jesus is deeming that the disciples are going to be powerful. We'll go into that text soon. We're going to stay in this verse until we get everything we can get out of it at this point about forbidding things on earth and heaven and permitting things on earth and heaven. And man, Jesus told, he wasn't like, here, I'm giving you a Chili's gift card, okay? He's giving them the keys to the kingdom. Come on. That's big. The king is giving the keys to the kingdom to people because the king, Jesus, is deeming them. He's proclaiming over them that they're worthy, that they're part of the plan. You're powerful, Peter. And then four verses later, not three chapters later, not two books later in the Bible, but four verses later, Peter messes up. Four verses. I mean, come on, Peter. Hold it together a little bit, right? Four verses later, Jesus is talking about the path that he has to walk of going to the cross and dying and being tortured and all of that and dying and going into the tomb. And Peter stands up and is like, no, Jesus, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die. And Jesus turns to Peter, the one he just called the rock that he's going to build the church on, and he says, get behind me, Satan. You're the rock. Build the church on you. Ah, that's so awesome. You're amazing. You're Peter. That means rock. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Four verses later, get behind me, Satan. I want you to think about that the dynamics of that. Same place, same scene, same conversation. These four verses wasn't like 2 months later. No. The same conversation. He wasn't actually calling Peter Satan. He was speaking to the spirit and the voice that was coming out in the words of Peter. He was being tempted by Peter's voice. And Peter was saying, like, no, you don't have to suffer. No, and he's like, get behind me. I know the plan of the Father that I have to walk this path and I have to suffer and die. And so he's resisting the temptation to believe what Peter is saying. Get behind me. The whole amazing message and that posture of Jesus, of Jesus rebuking the words coming out of the rock's mouth. But then during Holy Week, just a few weeks later, this is the week that we're celebrating here, Jesus has what we call the Last Supper. And at the beginning of the Last Supper, Jesus kneels down to wash Peter's feet. And here we go, Peter, one more time. No, Peter protested. You will never wash my feet. And he's saying this out of what he thinks is a good thing, a good heart. But he's just messing up. He's like, he doesn't get it yet. Just if Jesus is doing something, you should go with it. But he's like, no, Jesus. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash your feet, you won't belong to me. That's John 13, 8. Then, same supper, Peter says another thing that he's wrong about. Jesus is saying, all of you will desert me tonight. All of you will desert me. Now, this is this intimate supper that they're having. And Peter stands up and says, if everybody else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus says, Peter, before the rooster crows two times, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, the rock. I'm going to build my church with Peter. And then Peter, before the rooster crows two times, Peter denies Jesus three times. What in the world is going on? Right? I thought you were supposed to be like the rock star of the church. Jesus declared you as the leader, the one that's going to build the church. And instead of you displaying these characteristics of this spiritual hero, instead of you demonstrating the works of an apostle of Jesus, it looks like Peter is actually falling apart before our very eyes. He's not acting like this character that Jesus has proclaimed him to be. So it's just like, what do we do with that? How do we handle the fact that Jesus said this and now this human kind of received it, is excited about it, but then just keeps messing up over and over again, and then it culminates in that climax where he literally denies that he knows Jesus while Jesus is being tried by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. While that's actually going on, Peter denies Jesus at the moment when it's so important. And you and I can sit in here and be like, Peter, how could you do that? Why would you do that? I would never do that. Really? Instead of us focusing on the failure of Peter, I want us to understand the power of God, because that's really what's being displayed here. Instead of focusing on the brokenness of Peter, I want you to get your eyes on the redeeming nature of Jesus. So first of all, this is the bullet points we got for you today. Jesus deems us good. And I say us, this is because it goes beyond Peter. He's declaring you good. He's saying, you are good. You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. I'm pleased in you. When we go down in the waters of baptism, it is just like when Jesus was baptized. The Heavenly Father declares over you, you are my son. You are my daughter. You haven't done anything great yet, but I believe in you. You're going to do great things. You may not even understand how that's all going to work out, but I'm going to do something great through you. I love you. He deems us his kid. He declares over us that we're going to have a part in his kingdom. He deems that you have favor, that you have purpose. But then, bullet point two, we are just like Peter. Come on. We screw up. Probably never thought that would be a point in a sermon at a church. But that is the reality that we live in. We mess up. Come on, some of y'all don't even wait four verses to mess up. You're messing up in two verses. Come on. Some of y'all mess up like in the same verse. I'm just like you. I'm just like you, man. Beep. I can't believe I just did that. Peter actually, a lot of people believe, was profane when he denied Jesus in the act of his disobedience. Not only did he deny Jesus, but he profoundly declared it with profanity. I do not know him. Screwing up. Some of us are really good. All of us are really good at not reflecting the ideas and plans that God has laid out for us. But I want you to watch this. This second bullet point is not the end of the story. Thank God. There's another bullet point that God deems us good, then we mess up, but then God redeems us good. We serve a God that is a God of redemption. He's a redeemer. I love to break that word down. He's doing it again because he loves you. He still loves you. And you're still in the family. And I have a plan for you, even though you screwed it up, even though you denied me 3 times, Peter. There's this beautiful story after the resurrection where Peter and the disciples go fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and they've been fishing all night. And in the morning, when it's like the sun's barely coming up, sort of hazy, they're about 100 yards away from the shore, and they're tired, they haven't caught anything all night, and there's a man on the shore that is cooking breakfast, and he says, "Go try the other side of the boat." Okay. We've been out here all night, but okay. Throw the net on the other side of the boat, and they caught so many fish, the net was full, and they're dragging it into the boat. And then Peter looks closely and says, "That is Jesus. That's Jesus over there." Jesus had been, you know, out of the grave for several weeks now. Peter throws his cloak off and jumps into the water and runs through the Sea of Galilee, 100 yards through the water to get to Jesus. Then the disciples come and they sit there on the beach and they have this breakfast with Jesus. And as they're sitting there, this redeeming happens. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes." "Feed my sheep." "Yes, sir." "Peter, do you love me?" A second time. "Yes." "Feed my lambs." "Take care of them. Steward them." "Yes, sir." A third time. "Peter, do you love me?" For each denial, he got an affirmation. "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Yes, sir. I will do it." On the Sea of Galilee, Jesus redeems Peter. Good. You've still got a part in this story. You still got a plan. I'm still going to use you. I'm speaking to people today in 2023 that have thought your path was over. You thought you'd mess it up so much that God would never use you again. Look to this amazing story in the Bible where God is not just one that's going to deem you good and then you screw it up. And God's like, "Well, I made a mistake on that one." No, we serve a God that is a redeemer. He's an awesome God that is ready to take you in your mess and go, "Okay, okay, okay, come on, come on, let's go. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to fill you with my spirit, and then you're going to go build my church, just like I said you were going to do. You thought that your sin could disqualify you and not allow you to be a part of my plan, but my redeeming power is bigger than your mistake, the power of your sin." Right? And so we see this massive display of Jesus' mercy and his grace. Mercy is not giving Peter what he deserved. Grace is giving Peter what he did not deserve. So the mercy is this forgiveness piece. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Death, you deserve separation from God forever and ever. But I'm a merciful God, and I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to forgive you and redeem you as good. And then I'm not going to just stop there. We could just serve a God that forgave us and left us at ground zero, but that's not the way Jesus is. Jesus then displays his amazing grace, which is giving Peter what he does not deserve, which is power and strength and blessing and favor and open doors. And so Peter did not deserve that power or that strength or that positive energy or that ability to influence and build the kingdom. But Jesus is a grace-filled God and a merciful God. Amen? That's the God that we serve. And I'm so glad you came today. I'm so glad you're watching online today to hear the truth of Jesus, That he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And you can't mess up enough for God to redeem you good, to restore you and fill you with the power of his amazing grace. It's a powerful moment when Jesus deems us holy and righteous and we're saved. And that's such an amazing feeling. We've baptized hundreds, probably thousands. We have baptized thousands of people here. We baptized hundreds last year. And out of all those, I can tell you that when they got out of the water, y'all didn't live flawless lives after that. Oh, man. Dang it. Everything was good. Everything was perfect. And you realize that in your nature, you've got some things in your life that are pulling you back to the oldness and the old ways. And in that moment, you understand the depth of God's love and God's strength. So there's this powerful moment when Jesus deems us holy and righteous. And then there's this painful moment when we fall and we don't reflect the goodness of God and God's holiness. But then there's this extremely generous and unexplainable moment when Jesus redeems us good. He declares life. He declares future. Even after it looks like you've messed up way beyond repair, there's this amazing, amazing thing that happens. So what a picture of God's amazing mercy and grace. But there's one final thing I want to leave with you today, and that is actually a lesson that we could learn from Peter as well. You know, when Jesus declared him as a rock, that he was going to build the church, and then four verses later, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, Peter could have been really upset about that. Wait, what? I'm trying to do the right, you know, what? Couldn't you have pulled me aside privately away from all the other disciples and been like, "Hey, man, I know you meant well," but Jesus just blasts him in middle. Peter could have been so offended and bitter and left the church. But instead, Peter keeps coming back to Jesus. And I want you to learn that powerful truth that you have a role in this as well, that you could walk away at any moment and leave the family and leave God, but you got to keep coming back. Peter returns to his obedience. Peter believes in second chance obedience, and we believe that here. Okay, you didn't get it right the first time, here we go again. Come on. Okay, didn't get it right the second time, here we go again. Second chance obedient. Third chance. And Peter, it's his attitude. It's his attitude that Peter has. Even after his first failure, his first big embarrassment, his third mistake, his fourth blunder, it doesn't stop Peter from returning to Jesus, coming back again. You know, when Peter was telling Jesus, "No, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet." And then Jesus scolds him. "If I don't wash your feet, you can't be any part of me." Peter says, "In that case, don't just wash my feet. Wash all of me. I have to be a part of you. And if it means washing my feet, wash every part of me, because I've got to be with you." I want you to think about what happened every morning in Peter's life from the time he denied Jesus and heard that rooster, and then every morning he heard a rooster. What went through Peter's mind every time he heard a rooster crow? It brought him back to his knees. And I believe that Peter did not have this victim mentality and him beating himself up, But I think every time that that rooster crowed, I think that Peter said, another day, I'm reminded of how good God is. And that my God is a redeemer. And that I don't have to live my life as a denier, but I can live my life as a follower of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.